CBS News Brief. The most visited museum in the world is closed this Sunday after robbers broke into the Louvre in Paris just after opening and stole priceless jewels. Reporter Brad Gibson.
In all, 9 priceless pieces of jewelry were stolen. In their hasty getaway, the robbers reportedly dropped one piece as they fled.
Former New York Congressman George Santos spoke to CNN about whether he would consider another run for office after President Trump commuted his fraud sentence and he was freed from prison Friday night.
I'm 37 years old. I can tell you this. Not that I can see of in the next decade. I'm all politicked out.
House Speaker Mike Johnson disparaged yesterday's Three Kings rallies held across the country.
They needed a stunt. They needed a show. Chuck Schumer needs cover right now. He's closed the government down because he needs political cover, and this was a part of it.
He spoke on ABC. The event's organizers estimate millions attended 2,700 protests against the Trump administration. CBS News Brief, I'm Wendy Gillette.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for the Midwest Farm Report with me, Pam Yonke.
For Civic Media News, I'm Charlie Pittman. Wednesday was White Cane Safety Day. The day's been around for 60 years and recognizes people who are blind or have visual impairments. It's also a reminder to motorists to stop 10 feet away from people carrying a white cane.
In Wisconsin, motorists are required to stop no shorter than 10 feet from a pedestrian who is in the roadway, who is carrying a white cane or using a service animal.
Denise Jess is executive director of the Wisconsin Council of the Blind and Visually Impaired. She herself is blind and carries a foldable white cane. She says reminding drivers to take extra caution benefits all people.
We don't want drivers running over pedestrians, period. But vulnerable pedestrians who really can't see you coming need that, that extra protection under the law.
Wisconsin's white cane law comes with a fine. And even though it's not against the law, Jess says it's also not helpful to honk.
But honking is confusing because we don't know if you're honking at us. You know, we have no way of visually verifying. Are you honking at us? Are you honking to give us information? Are you honking because you're irritated that you had to stop? There's no way to understand what that honk is. So while it's not statutory limited, it's just confusing. We don't know how to interpret it.
Jess says care and attention while on the road doesn't only benefit folks who are blind or low vision. It also benefits you as a driver.
It's so critical to our safety and your well-being. You know, if you were to hit one of us, it would change your life as well, and we wouldn't want that to happen.
October is also National Pedestrian Safety Month. For Civic Media News, I'm Shali Pittman. More news anytime at civicmedia.us.
A late night for the Pack. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports here in Phoenix, where the Packers play the Arizona Cardinals at State Farm Stadium. A late arrival, though, last night for Green Bay. The team plane had mechanical problems and was not cleared to fly, so the Packers waited over 5 hours before another plane could arrive from Detroit and take them from Austin Straubel Airport in Green Bay to Phoenix. They didn't take off until 7 o'clock last night, and it's nearly a four-hour flight. I'll have a recap of today's game coming up later tonight. College football, the Wisconsin Badgers losing to number one ranked Ohio State 34-0. Luke Fickell.
To not find a way to put points on the board will never give us a chance. So we know we have to find a way to be able to do that, and we got to get a hell of a lot better at it.
That's the Badgers head coach, Luke Fickell. Wisconsin on the road next week against number 8th ranked Oregon. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Midwest Farm Report with me, Pam Yonke.
Hi, meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Showers through about mid-morning, otherwise breezy and much colder with high temperatures only in the mid to upper 50s. Tonight, mostly clear with lows in the lower 40s. A bit warmer on Monday with plenty of sunshine, highs in the low to mid 60s. It's 48 degrees at our studios.
The Wisconsin Book Fest is a free 4-day festival in Madison that celebrates every type of reader. Whether you're into mind-racing mysteries, great birding guides, speculative sci-fi, or music memoirs. You're sure to find an author to obsess over. Join us October 23rd to 26th for dozens of author readings, discussions, book signings, and more. Head over to waukradio.com to check out the full event lineup. And don't forget to make space on your shelf for new favorites.
During Medicare's open enrollment, it's common to receive mailers and see TV commercials that say you're missing out on some benefits. Before you respond to these ads, turn to Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol, here to help you prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Don't be misled into enrolling in a plan that doesn't meet your health needs or cover your medications. Visit the Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol website at smpwi.org.
My name's John Driscoll, proud member of the Patriotic Millionaires. When I was CEO at CareCentrics, I doubled entry-level wages. The impact? Productivity went up, turnover went down, and the company was successful. When employees are off the clock, they're real consumers, the consumers that drive the economy with their spending. By paying employees a fair wage, we're actually helping out all of us and giving our economy the best chance to succeed. I'm John Driscoll. I'm a Patriotic Millionaire, and I approve this message.
Maggie Dawn.
I'm joined by my special guest, Tom Paulsiewicz. We dive into Donald Trump's plan to dispatch the IRS against his enemies and Magic Mike's refusal to seat the newest elected congresswoman. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
We continue with the music of the star. Hans Zimmer, 1991.
Dear Clarice, I have followed with enthusiasm the course of your disgrace and public shaming. My own never bothered me except for the inconvenience of being incarcerated, but you may lack perspective. In our discussions down in the dungeon, it was apparent to me that your father, the dead night watchman, figures largely in your value system. I think your success in putting an end to Jane Gum's career as a couturier pleased you most because you could imagine your father being pleased. But now, alas, you're in bad odor with the FBI. Do you imagine your daddy being shamed by your disgrace? Do you see him in his plain pine box crushed by your failure, the sorry, petty end of a promising career? What is worst about this humiliation, Clarice? Is it how your failure will reflect on your mommy and daddy? Is your worst fear that people will now and forever believe they were indeed just good old trailer camp tornado bait white trash, and that perhaps you are too? By the way, I couldn't help noticing on the FBI's rather dull public website that I have been hoisted from the Bureau's archives of the common criminal and elevated to the more prestigious 10 most wanted list. Is this coincidence, or are you back on the case? If so, goody goody, because I need to come out of retirement and return to public life. Clearly, this new assignment is not your choice. Rather, I suppose it is part of the bargain, but you accepted it, Clarice. Your job is to craft my doom. So I'm not sure how well I should wish you. But I'm sure we'll have a lot of fun. Ta-ta. H.
This is Fred Waring. Thank you.
and the first film in which Ingrid worked with the man who turned out to be one of her all-time favorite directors, Alfred Hitchcock. It's a movie which asks a provocative question: what happens when it's your psychiatrist who needs to be analyzed? Our next movie is Spellbound, a romantic thriller from Hitchcock and producer David O. Selznick, and the first and only teaming of an exceptionally attractive pair, Ingrid and Gregory Peck. Greg Peck plays a young psychiatrist at a mental institution. Ingrid is a fellow doctor who becomes concerned about her cohort when he begins to behave very strangely. In the course of trying to understand his behavior, she finds out more about him than she ever bargained for. He may not only be very dangerous, he may even be a killer. Nor did she bargain for the fact that she would fall in love with him. Now, at the time this movie was released, psychiatry and psychoanalysis had suddenly become very hot topics in the U.S. Everybody in the moneyed class had their own shrink or wanted to find one. So this was very timely stuff in 1945. Selznick, in fact, paid his own psychiatrist to serve as the technical consultant on the film. Meanwhile, Ingrid Bergman, at this point in her life, was at her most luminous and her most popular. This was one of three wildly popular films that moviegoers saw in that 1 year alone, along with The Bells of St. Mary's and Saratoga Trunk. For Greg Peck, it was only his second year in films. He was 28 years old, not only tall and handsome, but could also act, making him the new leading man that every actress in Hollywood wanted to work with, and soon did. People like Greer Garson, Jennifer Jones, Joan Bennett among them. Now, the film Spellbound was nominated for 6 Academy Awards, including in the categories of Best Director, Best Supporting Actor Michael Chekhov, and Best Picture. And it won the Oscar for Miklos Rose's haunting music score. FYI, Ingrid and Greg were both nominated that year for their acting, but not for this film. Ingrid was nominated for 1945's The Bells of St. Mary's, and Greg for 1945's The Keys of the Kingdom. But here's their Hitchcock blockbuster, which also includes a very early film appearance by Rhonda Fleming. Here's Spellbound.
You're holding me spellbound. I am yours, heart and soul. What can it be? This magic power that you control. I always feel spellbound every time you are near. My senses reel. I melt completely when you appear. You thrill me so much. It's just like the touch of April when winter is through. It wasn't so bad till I kissed you. Now I can't resist you. I know that I'll stay spellbound. Love will keep me that way. Oh, how I pray I'll hold you spellbound someday. So much, it's just like the touch of April when winter is through. It wasn't so bad till I kissed you. Now I can't resist you. I know that I'll stay spellbound. Love will keep me that way. Oh, how I pray I'll hold you spellbound, spellbound someday.
Music by Miklos Raja. His main love was not movies, although he was in demand all the time, not only for Hitchcock, like Spellbound, but Edward G. Robinson chose him for a picture that he produced himself with his company, The Red House. This may be a great Halloween movie. If you don't care to see ghosts and all that stuff, well, maybe internal ghosts. Great picture with Edward G. Robinson. Julie London. Yeah. And Rod McAllister. Dame Judith Anderson.
Dense forest once covered all of Piney Ridge, but no longer is the region a mystery. Modern highways have penetrated the darkness and brought in the light. Not so in Oxhead Woods, further south. Step into it off the abandoned road that hugs its length, and it's like passing through a wall and closing the door behind you. Obsolete trails wander vaguely, crisscross or break at right angles for no reason. Only one leads to the Morgan farm. Pete Morgan's farm has the allure of a walled castle that everybody knows about, but few have entered. Its only access to the outside world is a country road that passes by. Some miles north connects with a highway near the Renton farm. Joe Renton, like the other farmers hereabouts, is up and coming. Raises good apples. Fine soil everywhere in the valley.
This is one of my favorite pictures. The story of a farmer, Pete Morgan. A guy who harbors grim secrets, memories of long ago love and murder. He lives with his devoted sister. And an adopted daughter. Played by Aline Roberts. The story is, he keeps from his adopted daughter learning the truth about her real parents. And I'm not going to tell you much more. Pete Morgan hires a farmhand, a young kid from the high school.
Why not me?
Well, didn't you know you and Miss Ellen are known as the Mysterious Morgans?
Are we?
Well, they won't say it anymore. Not when I tell them what a swell layout you've got here and that you spread the best table in the valley.
It's because we're so self-sufficient here. We seldom have any need to go to town.
What else do they say about us, Nate?
Oh, nothing. except things like Meg not being your daughter, or even related.
Why don't they ask me?
Well, I guess they'd rather whisper gossip than find out the truth.
What gossip?
Well, they say Meg's mother and father ran away and left her when she was still a baby.
Well, that's not true, Nate. Meg's mother and father went down south to find a new farm. They left Meg in our care.
They died down there in a runaway. Pete and I adopted Meg legally. There's nothing to be whispered about, Nate.
She was only 2 years old then.
There's nothing wrong with being adopted. I'm grateful.
Sure.
And the next time I hear anybody gossiping about it, I'll say, so what? Meg isn't the only adopted girl in the world. Well, I hate to eat and run, folks, but I think I better get started. So I thought I'd take a shortcut through Oxhead Woods.
You know your way through those woods?
No, but the wind's cleared the sky.
Well, I'd take the long way around if I were you. I've roamed the Oxhead Woods for years, and I'm as brave as the next man, but I wouldn't cross through those woods at night.
Woods haven't scared me since I was a kid, day or night.
Yes, but you said you didn't know Oxhead Woods.
A tree's a tree and a trail's a trail.
The trails lead nowhere.
Let the boy go.
I don't want him to get lost.
Yes, stop. I don't want him to get hurt.
Wait. Don't take the Oxhead Woods. The footbridge across the creek is out.
I'll jump across.
Well, there's fog on the other side.
Find the way around it. Look, Mr. Morgan,
take a long way around.
Well, I'll save 2 miles by cutting through the wood.
But you won't save yourself from the screams in the night that'll lodge in your bones all your life.
Screams from where? From the right house. Well, if I come to it, I'll give it a wide go by.
Thank you. house. Robinson plays a farmer with a wooden leg, living with his sister and an orphan teenage girl, the siblings whom he took in years ago. A friend of the girl's comes to help on the farm, but when he takes a shortcut home through the woods, an irate Robinson warns him of the dangers lurking therein, not least of which is this strange abandoned red house. It seems that this house has a secret, and as the movie unfolds, the real danger of this red cabin in the woods just might reveal itself. Our man of the day, Edward G. Robinson, not only stars in this film, but he also co-produced it with his partner, Saul Lesser, through their company, Thalia Productions. This was their first effort as producers, but while they were only first-timers, they brought in some top-flight talent to make The Red House. The director is Delmer Daves. There's also a haunting score by Miklós Rozsa, which was one of the first commercially issued film scores on 78s. Also, there's atmospheric cinematography by Burt Glennon. So from 1947, also starring Lon McAllister, Judith Anderson, Rory Calhoun, and a very young, scene-stealing Julie London, here is the TCM premiere of The Red House.
It's so peaceful in the country. It's so simple and quiet. You really ought to try it. You walk about and talk about the pleasant things in life. It's so restful in the country. It's the right kind of diet. You really ought to try it. You lie and dream beside a stream while daisies nod. Hello. City living is a pretty living. It's so full of unexpected thrills. But there's too much stone, too much telephone. Yes, there's too much of everything but trees and hills. It's so peaceful in the country. It's so simple and quiet. Someday you're bound to try it. The only place to be, the place for you and me, where it's peaceful in the country.
Remarkably gifted men were nominated as actors in a leading role. Here they are. Warren Beatty in Bugsy. Robert De Niro in Cape Fear. Anthony Hopkins in The Silence of the Lambs. Nick Nolte in The Prince of Tides. Robin Williams in The Fisher King. And the Oscar goes to Anthony Hopkins in The Silence of the Lambs.
My God, I can't believe it. This is really unexpected. It's a great honor to be here, especially with such great actors like Nick Nolte and Warren Beatty and Robin Williams, Robert De Niro. First of all, I want to say hello to my mother. She's in Wales watching this on television with Eve and Jean and Jill and Tony. My father died 11 years ago tonight, so maybe he had something to do with this as well, I don't know. But I want to say thank you to the Academy for your tremendous generosity, to my friend Bob Palmer, my friend and publicist, my dear beloved wife, Jenny, and I have many people to thank here in Los Angeles who, over the years, have given me tremendous support, without whose help I wouldn't be here, I know. And I am greatly honored and tremendously moved. And I, God bless you all. Thank you very much.
By Sir Anthony Hopkins, his beautiful waltz, and the waltz goes on.
We'll be back again next week with more Halloween stuff. Anthony Hopkins composed this. It's Andre Rieu.
Hello everyone, good morning. Well, New Year's coming, it's been a tough year, full of grief and sadness for many, many, many people. But 45 years ago today, I had a wake-up call. I was heading for disaster. I was drinking myself to death. I'm not preachy, but I got a message, a little thought that said, do you want to live or die? And I said, I want to live. And suddenly the relief came and my life has been amazing. And I have my off days and sometimes little bits of doubt and all that, but all in all, I say hang in there. Today is the tomorrow you were so worried about yesterday. You young people, don't give up. Just keep in there. Just keep fighting. Be bold and mighty forces will come to your aid. And that sustained me through my life. And that's all I've got to say. And Happy New Year. This is going to be the best year. Thank you.
Ta-ta. H.
No one can hear you if you scream in the night. Isn't that so, Mrs. Dudley?
No one lives any nearer than town. No one will come any nearer than that. In the night. In the dark.
Thank you.
of his avarice and his betrayal of the Emperor's trust, Pietro Lavinia was disgraced, blinded, and imprisoned. Dante's pilgrim finds Pietro Lavinia on the seventh level of the Inferno. And like Judas Iscariot, he died by hanging. But Judas and Pietro Lavinia are linked in Dante by the avarice he saw. In fact, avarice and hanging are linked in the medieval mind. And this is the earliest known depiction of the crucifixion, carved on an ivory box and wall about AD 400. It includes the death by hanging of Judas, his face upturned to the branch that suspends him. Here he is again on the doors of the Benevento Cathedral, hanging, this time with his bowels falling out. And this plate from a 15th century edition of the Inferno, Pietro Lavinia's body hangs from a bleeding tree. I will not belabor the obvious parallel with Judas Iscariot, but Dante Alighieri needed no drawn illustration. It is his genius to make Pietro Lavinia, now in hell, speak in strained hisses and coughing sibilants as though he is hanging still. Come l'altre verem per nostre spoglia, ma non per qualcuno sen riveste, che non è giusto aver ciò compositore. Qui le strascineremo per la mesta selva, saranno i nostri corpi appesi, ciascuno al fondo l'ombra somma resta. Avarice, hanging, self-destruction. Io feggi abetami le mie case. I make my own home be my gallows.
Is still alive out there? Is more of the same next week? Civic Media, Radio Network, and the Music of the Stars.
You are never far away from me. When we part, I hold your memory. You linger in my dreams when day has flown, and through the lonely night I'm not alone. And when people care as you and I, there's no sadness in the world. Goodbye. Because you're always in my heart, my friends. Wherever you may be, you are never far away from me.
Good night.
This program is podcast. Want to hear it again? It's at civicmedia.us. Look for shows. We're the Music of the Stars. I'm your host, Lou Regani. More stuff next week for Halloween. And on November 5th, our second anniversary on the Civic Media Radio Network. Thank you for being here and being part of the program and for having fun at Halloween. It's not real. Or is it? Anyway, until next week, keep your dreams alive and reach for the stars.
We're a Civic Media station.
540 WAUK, Jackson, Milwaukee.
This
is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Wendy Gillette. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth says U.S. forces attacked another drug smuggling vessel Friday, killing three people. He says the boat was tied to a Colombian guerrilla group. President Trump posted today that Colombia President Gustavo Petro is an illegal drug dealer and that he's slashing U.S. funding to the country. The president did not decide on whether to give Ukraine long-range Tomahawk missiles at a meeting last week. He addressed this on Fox.
We can't give all of our weapons to Ukraine. We just can't do that. And I've been very good to President Zelensky and to Ukraine, but we can't give, you know, if we're going to be short, I don't want to do that. I can't jeopardize the United States.
A ceasefire is in jeopardy as Israel fired on targets in southern Gaza after it says troops came under fire from Hamas militants. At least nine